Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Have you made up your mind? Are you in? Are you out? It's too late now.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, little ears warning. As I said, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show if you wish. Our resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook, is here to talk through all your problems. Rachel, good morning.
Hiya, Jen. God, the build up. I'm about to explode.
So literally. Conscious. I know, I have to with you because it can get a bit full on, Rachel.
Well, I was deeply offended to hear that some people are on the fence. You got to get in and get mucky with us.
Knowledge is power, as they say.
Exactly,
and we all need a bit of that. Okay, now we'll get straight into it.
Yeah.
The first one's about sex drive. So this texter says, my girlfriend doesn't really want to have sex anymore. And when I ask her why, she says she's tired or she just doesn't feel like it. I know people's sex drives fluctuate for lots of reasons. But I'm trying not to take it personally, but I'm scared she's gone off me or is going to break up with me soon. What should I do?
You should definitely talk to her more. The usual, Jen, as we know, you know, it sounds like this person is trying to be considerate, and that's lovely that they're not, you know, great that they're not pressuring or coercing their partner into having sex with them, nor by the sounds of it sort of getting the hump and giving them the silent treatment. But of course, you know, it's like, I think in every relationship, it's there's going to be a negotiation that happens, but probably dozens of times over the course of your relationship, because sex drives change, as this person has said. Sometimes you feel much more into your partner and up for sex. Sometimes you're more stressed at work and you don't feel like having sex. So just being able to talk about it, because obviously it's very uncomfortable for this person to be worrying that their girlfriend is going to break up with them. That's horrible. So I would say, you know, just sit down and talk to them and decide some time. It could be so many reasons, you know. It's possible that it's about that they've been having fights and haven't repaired it, and that's leading this person's partner to not feel like having sex. Maybe it's that they feel sexually bored, you know, that they don't feel a lot of sexual connection. Maybe they're not putting very much effort in to please the other, to seduce and surprise each other. Maybe it's to do with kind of mental health challenges around anxiety or depression or certain medications that they're taking. And also I would say, you know, in a longer term relationship, sex often just becomes deprioritized, whether that's because, you know, you've just kind of gotten more comfortable with each other, or maybe you have kids, you live together. There's lots of things that are likely to make sex feel like less of a spontaneous, exciting surprise. So you just have to talk about it and manage your way around that. So that's what to do. Go talk to her.
Sexting. Hi, Jen and Rachel. Thanks so much for the laughs and excellent info every week. Oh. They start off by saying, I've been with my partner for a few months now and he's really into sexting. I sometimes find it quite arousing and sometimes find it mega cringe, this person says. I also don't think I'm very good at it. Can Rachel give me some tips to get over myself and enjoy fingering my phone's keypad more?
Nice one. Okay, so at the most basic level, sexting involves two or more people consensually texting each other about sexy stuff. That could be erotic fantasies, or it can just be recounting things that have happened between you or whatever it is. So that can be, yeah, it can be about a memory, or some people will write, you know, multiple paragraphs about things that they want to do with each other. So I would say here, in general, always ask for consent before sexting. Now, it sounds like this person, they've been together for a while, but still, in general, with sexting, I would say, even if you've been doing it a long time, it's good to ask for consent, just in case, you know, they're not feeling up for it at all at the time, or maybe they're at work, or, you know, someone is going to see it flash up on their phone. So good, that's a good one to do. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, a really good thing to do is to talk to your partner about what works for you. Even if you haven't done much sexting, as this person says, they don't think they're very good at it, maybe you don't know yet what you're into in terms of what sort of scenarios you like to talk about or what kind of words you like to use. But that can be a really good one, is outside of the actual sexting, just sit down together and talk about what words you like to use for different body parts and how to describe different situations, because some people really get the ick and feel really repulsed by certain words being used, or find that it really doesn't kind of fit with their it could be sort of gender identity or, you know, kind of just general sense of self. Work out what sort of things you like to talk about.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you're just not sure what to say, you can use
send a picture.
You know, kind of Yeah, use a picture. Definitely use pictures. Then you can use, you know, replaying a previous sort of romp or, you know, kind of interaction that you had. You can talk through a fantasy that you'd like the idea of. You can describe a scene in detail. You can also use voice notes as well as photos. And then you can use, you know, memes and GIFs are fair game as well. And so are emojis, although I would say a lot of people use emojis because they are feel a bit too vulnerable or insecure about writing the words. And although it can be really nice to say, wow, you look so hot, and then put a fire emoji or a drooling emoji or something afterwards, I would say in general, only using emojis to kind of accentuate what you're writing or saying.
And is it the case, Rachel, that practice makes perfect?
Practice makes perfect. Exactly that. Go slow. You know, you don't have to jump straight in and be really sort of explicit about this stuff. You can just sort of take it really slow and easily and just sort of say things that sound flirtatious and sort of take it from there, and don't feel that it has to turn into this like massive long, sexting session every time or at all. It can just be sending a few sexy, flirty messages to each other that gives you a little pep in your step and excited to see the person next.
I just got a text in. I'm going to read it out to you. Why is it that some girls like having their hair pulled during sex, but then others really don't, and it's always a bit tricky finding out which one she is?
Okay, so it's a bit like saying, why do some people like, I don't know, cheese? Why do some people like anything? You know, it's people will have different preferences, and that's just not just down to women specifically. There are going to be people who like all sorts of things, and there's also going to be people who like certain things at certain times and not at others. So there is absolutely no one size fits all, and the thing you need to do there is talk to the person. It's a better idea to chat about these things, especially when you're going in the direction of things that are more not that hair pulling needs to be a form of kind of BDSM, but you know, there can be, it can potentially be done with more sort of pressure and force, and some people of course are massively into that, but you also have to be careful. You could end up wrenching someone's neck, or they might just really not like their hair being touched. So I would say, you know, it is absolutely down to communication, which can feel a bit awkward when you are not used to it to begin with, where you're very used to kind of non-verbal communication during sex. But just get into the habit of sort of saying, you know, hey, how do you feel about hair pulling? It's literally that simple. That someone might be a bit like, I don't know, or like give it a try, or go easy, or go gentle and see how we go, sort of thing. And that's fine. You know, then you can just try it out from there. But yeah,
that's one you'd want to be checking out before you do it. That is definitely one thing I would say you ask the person. Right? The hair,
yeah,
hair pulling.
Ideally, most things you will be asking, because when it really comes down to it, although some things we see as being very normal, like fingering and, you know, kind of masturbating each other, oral sex, penetrative sex, lots of people don't want any penetrative sex. Some people only like to be fingered in a certain way or at a certain time during sex. You know, so I'm not saying that this should only be down to verbal communication and that you have to lay out some sort of, you know, master plan
contract
beforehand and follow it to a T. Obviously not. It doesn't have to be that, although some people really enjoy that and love that, and that's great. But, you know, I would say that for anything, pretty much anything, checking in with the person and saying, how's this feeling? Is this okay? How would you feel about me doing this thing? You can say it in quite a passing way. It doesn't have to be made into a huge deal, but it is definitely better to ask, because often if what happens is you do something that makes someone feel uncomfortable, they might also have trouble saying that to you, in which case they're now going to be sort of bracing, feeling a bit withdrawn or anxious, and it just doesn't make for good sex. So it's just much better to talk about it.
Okay. Another texter says, can you help me? I'm struggling to let go of anger and hurt from a past relationship. It's been over 3 years since we broke up. It ended badly in my eyes, but my ex moved on very quickly. How do I move on? I don't love this person anymore, this texter says.
Oh, interesting. So the last line kind of changes things a bit, because for some people it's that they still just feel a lot of love for the person and feel a lot of sadness and grief and just find it very difficult to be able to basically, you know, adapt and integrate the idea that they're not going to have a future together. If the person has already said that they don't love this person, then I would say this is, and you know, in any case, you know, a lot of this is going to be more down to our past, our history. That could be to do with, you know, experiences in our childhood, how, you know, kind of love and affection were modeled to us, all sorts of things around our attachment style potentially. So I would say this is, you know, a great idea for this person to do some exploration of that, which will probably be easier with a therapist, to be able to figure out, you know, what exactly, you know, it might be that there's specific parts of the relationship or that your sense of a future together that need to be sort of acknowledged and grieved. And it might be more to do with that. It might be more fear of commitment, or just, you know, fear of having felt, maybe it was that this person felt really humiliated by the breakup or something like that. And a part of them feels really fearful about dating someone else again. So it's kind of coming out as a sense of still of not being able to get over the last person, when actually it's more to do with just fear created by the experience of that relationship. Okay. So there's lots of things that that could possibly be, lots of ways to approach that. And probably seeing a therapist is going to be the easiest way to delve into that.
Another texter says, what should I do? I can't get it up. It's really becoming a problem.
Is that it?
Yeah. One line. Okay. Two sentences.
With that person, you know, they haven't given much detail there, so I can't tell if, for instance, they've always had trouble getting it up, meaning staying hard, keeping their penis hard for, you know, engaging in sex, or if this is something that has happened more recently, or that it only happens in certain circumstances. You know, more than half of people with penises, I would say probably more like 90% of people with penises will at some point in their lives find it difficult to get it up or to stay hard. And that it tends to increasingly happen as people get older as well. But there can, again, just be a variety of reasons why that might be. It could be stress. It could be feeling nervous with a new partner. It could be that you're not actually very sexually attracted to the person, and never have been. Or maybe that's just kind of waned over time, potentially. It could be to do with being very, you know, physically unfit. Or it could be to do with, yeah, as I said, medications that you're taking that can impact that. So I would say go to your doctor, first of all, your GP, and after that, probably check it out with a sex therapist. Have a few sessions and they will take a full sort of history in a way that a GP is not going to be able to do, and is not qualified to do, and be able to delve in more to find out whether this is physical. It could potentially be physical, although I think it's only about 10% of the time where
it's physical.
Not being able to stay hard is to do with a physical problem. The other 90% roughly is usually down to, you know, a kind of psychological set of issues, some of which are very easy to change, some of which take a bit more effort or adjustment in your sexual life. But, you know, knowledge is power.
Absolutely. I'm friends with lots of my exes and my current partner is really upset by that. I've assured them that I've no desire to get back with any of these people, but they still get prickly over it and give me the silent treatment. How can I reassure them that nothing's going to happen?
Ooh, so this one, you know, it comes again down to conversation with each other, and also, you know, kind of figuring out your sort of relationship values. I think it's quite a kind of toxic trope in modern society, that especially in kind of monogamous relationships, and especially for younger people, I would say that this idea that, you know, jealousy over exes or over, you know, the person potentially hooking up with someone else, that jealousy is seen as a sign of kind of true love as such, that it's sort of like, I feel jealous because I love you so much. And that's a real problem, because jealousy, you know, is about the fear of losing someone generally, or it's, you know, it's about your insecurity maybe in yourself because you feel jealous of a person having an experience that you would like to have. You know, maybe you want to be friends with your exes but you're not, or you're worried that that makes you a bad person, or this sort of thing. So there's lots of possibilities here, but I would say, you know, jealousy is also a completely normal human emotion that will arise just like any other. Almost everyone experiences jealousy, and you basically need to be open and address it with kindness and compassion. You know, if you're feeling jealous, don't make wild accusations towards someone. Don't, you know, retreat or become passive aggressive. This person has said that their partner gives them the silent treatment, which is really not ideal. You know, that can make someone feel very uncomfortable and potentially unsafe in the relationship. So what you need to do is chat about that. And this person, if it's not getting better, you know, this partner will probably need to see a therapist to address this better, because that is not going to work well if that continues. Because although some people you'll find in relationships decide that they just don't they have an agreement that they're not going to be in contact with their exes. Realistically, you know, ideally we will have a lot more trust in each other, that it's not down to, you know, you broke up for a reason, and just because you're going to see that person again doesn't mean that you're going to get back with them.
Okay, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this. It says, I'm a straight man, but I fall in love with a trans man at work, and I'm ashamed to say that I'm freaked out and questioning what this means. Does this make me gay now? Even though he hasn't had surgery and has a vagina, I don't want to be disrespectful, and I really care about this person. Thanks in advance.
Oh, this is a beautifully worded question. I really like this one because I think it's, you know, something that people can feel really confused and ashamed about. And there's still, you know, nowhere near enough knowledge and acceptance and understanding of, you know, gender and gender identity. And so, you know, here we're coming down to a question, it sounds like, about labels, you know, that this person is recognizing that they're with a trans person and it's a trans man. And presumably this person is saying that they would have seen themselves as straight prior to this, as heterosexual. So they are questioning whether that now changes their sexuality. And I would say to this person that that's up to them to decide. You know, no one, other people may well have their own opinions, but, you know, it is up to you whether you want to label your own sexuality at all, or you want to see this as you're a straight person who has, you know, is sort of maybe somewhat fluid or flexible, or you might simply see it as a potential one-off where that was different for you. So you might find that it is more comfortable, although it might feel difficult to begin with, because some people feel very sort of attached to the label that they have on their sexuality, that it might feel more comfortable to experience yourself as bisexual, pansexual, but that it's incredibly unlikely that just because you've been with one person who is of a different gender to who you've previously been with sexually, that that is going to suddenly change you into completely gay. So I would say this person is more likely to feel, I would guess, more comfortable describing themselves as bisexual or pansexual.
Okay.
Or sexually fluid.
Okay. Lastly, I sometimes get piles after sex, this texter says. I don't know why, because I haven't been doing any anal. I think they're piles anyway. I can feel and see little lumps around my bum hole, which can be itchy. I've tried creams. They don't really help. I'm so embarrassed. Please help.
Okay, so again, really common, really under talked about. A lot of people are mortified by hemorrhoids, by piles. And, you know, it's like this is just a body thing that sometimes happens for certain people. You know, it basically is that, you know, the kind of tissue around the bum hole sort of flares up and can create these little, you know, kind of swollen nodules as such. For some people, their hemorrhoids happen inside their body, and so they can't be seen, but sometimes they will bleed or itch. And for some people, they happen just around the opening, so you can actually see them and they can kind of pop out sometimes even, and they can be very, very tiny, or they can actually get quite big. And some people find that if they are having like really chronic, very serious hemorrhoids, that they might end up having surgery related to that. But for most people, it's, you know, it's more to do with things like it might be that you're take longer to warm up having sex. You know, even if this person has said they're not even having any anal play or any anal sex, but it is still causing this or contributing to this. So it might be simple things like taking Epsom baths for some people helps a lot. Epsom salt baths. For some people, it's about using less rough toilet paper if you're using very rough toilet paper. So just keeping yourself nice and clean and tidy down there, and avoiding sort of really being kind of rough on your
mind
anus,
your bum hole.
Mind your bum
hole,
basically. And then another thing is your diet, adding more water and fiber into your diet so that you have, you know, more regular bowel movements. That can help a lot. Mm. And then for some people, it's about not getting enough exercise. So having even a sort of 20 to 30 minute walk in a day potentially will change that. And then it might also be something like positions. You know, when people, sometimes it's that someone has their partner has a very large penis. And so even again, if it's not going into the other person's, into their anus, they're not having anal play or anal sex, it can still mean that that can cause like a kind of a reaction in the area. So I would say talk about it, work out, you know, there's a few things you can try, get more information, and hopefully that will be totally fine.
Amazing. Rachel Cook, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Rachel will be back next week. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end, and she'll be back next week, same time, every week. If you have more questions on anything about relationships, about sex, body parts, get in touch with the team 24/7. You can always email us, jen@rte.ie. That wasn't so bad. She didn't mention lube, though. Not once.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9.
On 2FM.